Houses were torn down, haystacks were gone, and it was the beginning of the starvation in Ireland that was soon followed by the potato famine in the early 1840s. And that led, of course, to the vast emigration of millions to Canada and to America. When tsunamis strike, the shoreline, the water often recedes way, way out strangely. Houses were torn down, haystacks were gone, and it was the beginning of the starvation in Ireland that was soon followed by the potato famine in the early 1840s.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and of course it is ever our joy to bring you the message of the gospel at this time. May the Lord minister to your heart and be your personal portion this hour. We're turning today to Revelation chapter 8, that wonderful statement that there was silence in heaven by the space of half an hour. We're also going to learn today about the power of prayer. Prayer is the very delight of God's people, and I trust that your heart will be encouraged and strengthened as we spend this time in God's presence, worshiping Him through His Word. So stay tuned, and may God in His grace work in your heart. We let the Bible speak here from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and at the end of the program we'll be giving all the announcements. So stay tuned right through the program today, and may the Lord speak to your heart.
Of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Revelation chapter 8 is our Bible reading, and it's a short chapter, so we'll just read it through. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read together Revelation 8 verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Father, we give thanks this evening for fellowship in Christ, for the joy of being a Christian, the joy of having the Word of God in our hands, and the freedom to preach it. Lord, ever keep this land free for the preaching of Thy Word and the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And tonight we tremble as we come to handle Thy Word. We do not claim to be infallible. We do not claim to be have perfect understanding of all things, but, O Lord, we take Thy word and we ask for wisdom, skill, and understanding, and pray that Thou wilt be exalted as we seek to expound these truths. O, minister to us and help us tonight. We pray and ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Silence is an eerie thing, and it's a rare thing in this world. It seems that when you want a quiet hour, that's when your neighbor starts up the lawnmower. Or he's got one of those chainsaw-like hedge trimmers, and it's like sawing lumber in a wood, and all this noise is going on around you. And when you go out on your back deck or your backyard and try and find a little solace, well, there's no real silence in this world. This reference in Revelation 8 to silence for the space of half an hour is very eerie. It really is the calm before the storm. And it is true that when major storms hit, very often there is that calm that precedes. In 1839, there was a major hurricane storm that hit Europe. It came in the winter time, and it started with a fall of snow, deep, soft snow. The barometer dropped by 100 points. as the weight of the air dropped, and it seemed like a great suction system was beginning to begin. And from the Atlantic came hurricane force winds that blew animals into the air, thatched roofs disappeared, and with thatched roofs, many people lost their life savings because that's where they kept their money. It was the bank of their own home savings, and it vanished. Houses were torn down, haystacks were gone, and it was the beginning of the starvation in Ireland that was soon followed by the potato famine in the early 1840s. And that led, of course, to the vast emigration of millions to Canada and to America. When tsunamis strike, the shoreline, the water often recedes way, way out strangely. And then comes that train of waves at the speed of a jet airplane and hits the shoreline, and of course drowning and towering over cities and buildings. Did you ever notice that when a particular tragedy unfolds, and maybe it's unfolding before your eyes and you're a full witness of it, that people are inclined to put their hand over their mouth? You can't speak because of the terror of what you're witnessing. You're forced into silence. Matthew Henry called this silence in heaven a silence of expectation. Great things were upon the wheel of providence and the church of God, both in heaven and earth, that stood silent. There's a number of references that speak of be silent in the presence of God. Be still, all ye lands. And it is a call to wait and trust in God in a time of tremendous calamity. Now, this Revelation 8 is a most serious juncture in the events of this book of Revelation. In chapters 4 to 7, we were dealing with the seals that refer in the most part to the saints. And you note how chapter 7 ended with God wiping away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 8 now begins with the seven trumpets of warning to the wicked. Right through chapters 8 to 11 is this new section that opens up the details of how God intervenes in this world. He brings calamities in judgment upon the wicked. And God's people, well, praise God, they've been warned and encouraged that if they have the mark of God upon their foreheads, they will not be hurt. That's a wonderful comfort to know. But interestingly, in verses 1 to 5, John, who was receiving this vision of heaven and these events, is given the scene of another angel, an eighth angel. There are seven angels coming forth with the seven trumpets, and then we're told that there is another angel. And he stands before the altar of incense, which is also before the throne. And there is this picture of prayer and intercession. Now, the vision parallels with what was a very common scene in the Old Testament, either in the tabernacle or temple, where the priest would minister at the golden altar, the altar of incense, not the altar of sacrifice. It's the altar of prayer, You remember Zechariah when he was in the temple, that he was ministering at the altar of incense. And this was a daily practice. This was a common scene. And here in heaven, John is given this vision of an angel, and he is carrying out this work. Now, either this angel is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as sometimes in the Bible, angels are really the Lord, or he represents the Lord, and he stands ministering before God. You'll notice also that as he ministers, that there is mingled into the incense the prayers of all saints. Now this gets interesting, and it gets more interesting when you really look into it. Have you ever wondered where your prayers go when you get up from off your knees? Have you ever wondered what happens when you make those petitions? If you're full of unbelief, you'll probably think they don't go any higher than the ceiling. If you are filled with confusion, you might think, well, they'll just go into thin air and that's the end of them. But what we learn here is, firstly, that God records our prayers. He receives our prayers. He responds to our prayers. And then in closing, we will learn that he does great things with our prayers. And so this is a little window into not just the earthly scene of the church at prayer, but of the heavenly scene, of the effects and the power of prayer when the prayers of all saints is added to that incense. God records our prayers. This separate angel, this eighth angel, he comes forth, and before the seven trumpets begin their sounding, their warning, and their judgments, this sight of this separate angel is given. And you'll notice the statement that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar. Let's look down at verse 3 and about two-thirds way down the verse, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, that he should offer it, that's the incense. That's the potpourri. Those are the perfumes and the fragrances that are added into the mix of the fire. But into the censer is added the prayers of all saints. And we're made to think here of the amazing, staggering volume of prayer. The prayers of all saints. This is the whole church. This is every saint around the world. As they offer up their petitions, they go into this censer, mixed with the incense, added to with the fire from off the altar, and they ascend into the presence of God. It was said of the British Empire that the sun never sets on the whole empire at one time, because there were various parts of the empire around the globe. Well, God is always listening to prayers, because Christians around the world are always asking of God. And just think about the volume, the number of petitions that God is listening to. It's a good thing we're not praying to Mary, because Mary is limited, but God is omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he can take in the prayers of all people. The one who counts the hairs on our head, sees the sparrows fall, who records every idle word, he also records every petition of every saint, every single one. And so you must never think that your prayers are lost, that your prayers are in vain, that your prayers are just empty and go nowhere. When you ask in the will of God and in Jesus' name, your prayers are recorded in heaven. Here we learn also of the value of prayers. Now, their value is not weighed in the earthly scales, because down here on earth, prayer is most despised. It's very often the smallest meeting of the church. It's something that if you tell your neighbor, I'm off to prayer meeting, they would say, huh, waste of time. If you say you're off to a week of prayer, what? You're going to travel hundreds of miles to spend a whole week devoted to prayer? What kind of a life is that? But here we learn that God hears them. God takes delight in them. And they are of eternal value. Because when God hears them, they are recorded forever. We're told in Malachi 3:6 that God keeps a book of remembrance. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. And so God notes the fellowship of his people, and he marks and remembers and records the prayers of his people. Daniel prayed 3 times per day, and it was not a waste of time. His prayers were heard. James, he tells us that we have not because we ask not. And that is really a rebuke to those who think prayer's not worthwhile. I wonder tonight, do we need that rebuke? I think that we are living in a period of time when prayer, on earthly estimations, is at a low ebb. And I think we all need to recalculate and rethink the value and the power of prayer with God. Probably a better question is, did you pray this week? Did you really pray? Did you pray till you got through to God? Did you pray in confidence that God will hear and be glorified in your asking? Now, we learn here also that God receives our prayers. And I make a difference between recording and receiving. Now, whose prayers are received? All saints. Saints, of course, by definition, they are the holy ones. They are the redeemed. They're the people of God, saved by the blood. We're told in the Bible that the Lord heareth not sinners. And I'm always a little bit uncomfortable when I read about ungodly politicians and worldly people saying, prayers be with you, or our thoughts and prayers are with you. What prayers? Did you really pray? In whose name did you pray? What God did you call upon? And so true prayer is the prayer of the redeemed who call upon the Lord in the power of the blood of Jesus. And of course, to really pray, the Lord Jesus taught us that we've got to use his name. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Now that's more than just tagging a little for Jesus' sake at the end. That means when you engage in prayer, that you picture in your mind your risen, glorified Savior at God's right hand interceding, and that he is representing you, and he is bringing your petitions to the throne of God and making them effectual before the Father. After all, our prayers are very weak, and very often we stutter, stumble, and can do no more than groan and sigh. But in heaven, those prayers are made powerful. So we learn here where these prayers go. Look again at verse 3. And it says, upon the altar which was before the throne. The mental picture of this golden altar located directly before the throne. Now, that throne, of course, is the seat of God. It is the seat of God's authority and His power. It is where the approaching petitioner would come into the presence of the King. And that altar is right there before the throne. Note in verse 3, and in the middle of verse 3, it says that the incense was given, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. The angel didn't get it himself. It was a gift. It was given. And the intercession that is represented here of our Lord Jesus is something that is bestowed. It's a gift. It's grace. And we are always praying on the merits of the Lord Jesus, not our own merits. We don't bring our own arguments and say, Lord, do it for my sake. Do it for just pity me. Do it for my sake. No, we pray on the merits of Christ because He is worthy. And His name has effectual power at the very throne of God. And so we need to learn as Christians that when we come into the place of prayer and to wrestle with God in prayer, in real earnest agonizing prayer, it is not our own worth, our own arguments, our own intellect. We're not going into God's presence to win an argument. We're going into God's presence to plead the merits of Christ and the victory that He has accomplished for us and all His name and His honor. Your prayers, the goal, the focus should be for the honor of Jesus. When you pray in His name, you want Him to receive the glory. You want Him to be exalted. Now, what kind
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on the station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.